Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and I have a real treat for y'all today. My friend Nicole is joining us from Louisiana, and we're going to talk about worship. And we're going to talk about what worship is and how to worship and all kinds of really interesting information. I think you're getting a lot out of this podcast. Welcome to the show, Nicole.
Thank you.
Recently, I read a really interesting story online. I don't know the person who posted this or the site. I'm not familiar with the site that I found it on. I was just doing some research, but this is too good not to share. On the Lord's Day, a brother in his dream was taken to a church by an angel where he saw a woman was playing the piano, but he could not hear the music. And there were choir members and believers singing, but he could not hear their voices. Then the pastor came to the platform to pray, but again, he heard nothing. He saw the man's mouth moving, but he heard nothing. Surprised, the brother asked the angel why he could not hear any sound. And the angel told him, "Because they are not doing those things sincerely. How can they make a sound? These people's worship of God is just for effect." So these people in this vision were worshiping just because everybody else was, or just because they were in church and it was the allotted time for worship, or just because it was expected of them. How many churches today, Nicole, do you think have the same kind of worship, the kind that does not even reach God's ears in heaven? And let me just insert, Nicole has been a worship leader for decades, so she's very qualified to talk on this topic.
I would think the majority of churches are like that today. I've visited many churches. There are certain speakers I like to hear, and sometimes I'll get to go and see them. And I can still worship because I'm singing to God, but I've noticed that it's a show. You've got a singer and they have lights, and everything is just about a set time. We're going to do a certain amount of songs. It's going to be like this. And it's a production. Oftentimes in not all churches, but in like the bigger churches, they actually hire musicians to play. And a lot of them aren't even Christians.
That is
because it's
that.
About how it sounds and how the people will enjoy it. It's more of a concert than it is a worship service.
Wow. Wow. Are we supposed to worship the Lord? What does the Bible say about that?
Well, yes, we were created to worship God. The whole purpose of Him creating us is to love Him. And part of loving Him is worshiping Him. If you're a married person and you don't tell your mate how much you love them, and not necessarily worship, because I don't want to use that word because we use that for God, but you spend time with them, you tell them how much you love them. You know, if you don't do those things, your marriage will not last very long.
Amen.
So
Amen.
God expects us to love on Him and to worship Him. That's like the least we can do for Him.
I agree. Look how much He's done for us. You know, I was praying one day, and it was sometime in the last year or so, and I can't remember what I was praying about, but it was something that had to do with worship or my worship time or something, and the Lord spoke to me and said that a lack of worship was very serious in His eyes. And I was like, ugh. I think I had missed part of my worship time or something like that, or I might have missed it that day because something else came up. Define what worship is. As opposed to, well, we like praise is thanking God for something He's done. You know, you're praising Him for something He's done or something He's going to do. But worship is different than praise. And I want everybody to understand there is a difference.
Well, the Bible says we enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Okay, so before we enter into worship, first of all, we have to make sure we're cleansed by the blood, that we don't have anything that we're not aware of, a sin that before we go in. You know, if you think about the Old Testament tabernacle, they had to go into the front area. They would, the priest, you know, they would do the sacrifice. The sacrifice had to be without blemish. Then they would go in and wash and make sure they were all clean before they would go into the presence of God. So you have to make sure, first of all, that your sin's under the blood. And I know as Christians, it is. But I don't know how other people do, but I try to repent daily of things that I may have done that I don't even know.
Me too.
Attitudes, because you cannot be too repentive.
Amen. Amen.
And so I'd rather be careful than, you know, than not. Yes. Just assume that, oh, I'm a Christian and I've been a Christian for years, so everything's fine, which is the trend nowadays.
Yeah, we don't want to be careless about sin. I know many people are. I think that's a mistake.
Yes.
I really
so,
think it is.
Oftentimes we'll have in my worship sets, we will have songs that are praise and talking about the good things he did, which also encourages us and builds up our faith. Mm-hmm. Before we go into the worship parts where we're just talking about how wonderful God is and how much we love him and the intimate part of the song service.
Yeah, I always
is the worship.
I always thought that like praise was, yeah, how you enter in, and it was thanking him, but to me, worship is like the holy of holies. That's where it's just, when I enter in worship, it's me and him. Wherever I'm at, that's just like you said, you were singing to God in church, so whatever the other people were doing, they were doing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm one-on-one with him when that happens. That's where the incredible presence comes to you.
Yes, I mean.
Just covers you up. It's just wonderful.
I started playing the piano when I was 9.
Wow.
And as I got a little bit older, I guess around 11, I played pretty well even at 11. Wow. I would go in. We had our living room. We had in the little house we grew up in, I had a den and a living room. And so in the living room was where the piano was, and we really didn't use that for anything else. But I would go in there and shut the door, and I would play, and I would just make things up and just play and play until the Spirit of God fell in the room. I wasn't even singing.
Wow. I love
so that. He was training me even at a very young age, but it was because I was playing for him. I was doing it for him, and so then he came and listened to it.
Yeah. He shows up when you worship. There is no question. A few minutes ago, before we started recording, Nicole had told me about this new song that I had not heard of, and it's called Nothing Else by Cody Carnes. And it was out on YouTube in the live version. And she said, you got to listen to this. It really, you know, brings in the presence. And so I listened to it right before this podcast, and you are not kidding. I was in tears. God's presence, what just fills the room. I can't say enough about that song, Nothing Else by Cody Carnes. If you are looking for a song to get into God's presence, that's definitely one to listen to right there. I just want to bring, that's the way I enter into God's presence, is I play music, worship music, and then I start talking to him and start singing to him.
And I find praise and worship, if you get into that in that mode, then your prayer time should follow that, because you're already there.
Amen.
Instead of doing it all the way, you know, the other way, we pray, and then that's really the order it should be in. And that's why we do worship before church. It prepares people's hearts for the word, so that the heart's prepared and the seeds go in and then they get planted. That is why we have an order of service. It's not just because.
So true. So true. Yeah, I didn't mean to go off on that rabbit trail there just now. Were there any great worship examples in the Bible?
Well, I think most people think of King David as the worship person. If you think about back into the Old Testament, worship really wasn't introduced until David. In the time of Moses, they followed rules, and it was sacrifices. And I think the majority of that is because they complain so much. Because you cannot have complaining and worship together.
You know what? I just realized something. There are a lot of people who still follow that pattern.
All the rules.
The rules and the sacrifices. Yep.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with following the rules. You have to be led by, they were there for a reason. But it has to be more than that, because if you're following just a list of rules without a relationship, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Knowing who God is doesn't matter. It's knowing him personally that does. I mean, the Bible says the demons know him and tremble, but that doesn't do them any good.
No, you can know about somebody, but you don't know them.
It's about relationship, and that's what worship is. It's developing the relationship with God that he wants us to have so bad. That's why he made us. So worshiping him is key to developing your relationship with God.
It absolutely is, absolutely. I've talked a lot of times in the podcast about how Job and King David both, when they learned that, like King David learned his first baby with Bathsheba, a son, had died. And Job, when he learned all his children had been killed, and all his servants except the one who came and told him, they both did something unexpected. They got on their faces and worshiped. That's not a common response. I believe that that is an example in the body, in the, not the body, the in the Bible, of what response God wants us to have. I think, and I want your opinion on this too. I think, the first thing when a bad event happens, the first thing that happens is Satan says, "See, your God doesn't care about you." And he gets a lot of people to turn away from God, wherever they are in their walk, by that right there. He comes to him when something bad happens, because a lot of people, when they become a Christian, they think nothing bad is ever going to happen to them again, ever. Everything's going to be peachy from then on out because they're a Christian. And that is not true. The Bible tells us the exact opposite. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord God delivereth them out of them all. We're promised affliction, but we're promised deliverance from the afflictions too. And I think it's so important that we understand when something really bad happens is when we need to worship most. We need to say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand this. It hurts. I don't know why it happened, but I'm confirming you are still my God, and I'm not backing down from that. You are God. I'm still going to worship you. I still love you no matter what." And boy, if you want to see, when you need a miracle, you want to go into worship, but you really want to see miracles, you praise and worship him through something bad, and you watch and see what he does. He will amaze you.
Well, I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast before, but I lost four children. Just like,
I don't think we
yeah,
talked about it. Please
just
talk
like,
about it.
like you just said with David. And I think I healed quicker from that because of doing what you said. I would go, I'm now everybody grieves in different place ways. Some people like to talk about their stuff. I wasn't at when it would happen to me, I didn't really want people asking me how I was doing or not, all that. I wanted to be alone, and I would go and play. I've actually written many songs in that time, and just let God's presence heal me of that trauma. And so I believe playing and worshiping during that is what actually made me heal quicker.
Wow.
And because I healed and let him work that, through me that way, I was able to help many people that went through it right after me.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he comforts us in our affliction so that we can be a comfort to others. I'm glad you brought that up. That's so many women have gone through that, and it's devastating.
Yeah, and while we were going through it, there were really wasn't a reason why it. I'd had two miscarriages and two stillborns, so. It was traumatic, but I never asked God why, because the why didn't matter. He was still God. It didn't matter what I was going through,
Amen.
and
That's
I just trusted him anyway, and just pushed through. He had given me a dream in my heart that I would have a daughter, that I would have more children, and I held on to that dream and that promise through the dark times, knowing that it didn't matter what I saw, I knew what was coming.
Amen. That's what faith is. It's believing what we see in our spirit instead of what we see with our eyes, isn't it?
Yes.
What does the Bible mean by worshiping God in spirit and in truth? I was always confused by that scripture. It says you must Well, I don't have it pulled up in front of me. I should have pulled it up. Do you have it pulled up?
It's John 4:24.
It's the woman at the well, right?
Yes. And in this passage, the woman is a Samaritan. And the Samaritans and the Jewish people hated each other. And they had nothing to do with each other. But the funny thing is that they both believe the same God. They both were waiting for the Messiah. They both kept the Torah and followed all the rules. The only difference is that one person, the Samaritans worshipped on one mountain, and the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem. That was the argument that they had, and that's what kept them apart. And so when Jesus asked for water, she asked him, well, why are you talking to me? Because you are a Jew, and you aren't supposed to do this. And then he offered her the living water. And so when he said, let's see, where is it? But the hour cometh, this is verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, meaning that there are people who worship that really aren't worshiping, but they think they are, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. So it means he's looking for the people whose attitudes and their hearts are right to worship. That's what he wants.
That's good.
Because God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we have to know who he is, have a relationship with him, and not worry about all the details. It wasn't right that these two, the Samaritans and the Jews, were arguing over something that was so insignificant as to where to worship. The point is if she was really worshiping God, it wouldn't have mattered where she was. She would have been worshiping. And that was what part of the thing God was trying to make her understand.
Oh, okay. That is so good.
Nowadays, I see, and we're going to talk about balance a little bit because we missed something we need to talk about. But I'm worried about the balance in the Christian walk. We all know that we're living in the end times, okay?
Yeah.
That's a given, okay? But because the end times, well, I'll ask you, Glenda, what the end times, what description did the Bible give? What did God say it was like? What was the analogy he used to describe the end times?
Well, there were a number of different ones. The parable of the unforgiving servant, the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 unwise.
But he compares it to birth pains.
Oh, birth pains. Oh, yeah,
okay.
Too.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting to. So I'd heard someone talk about this, and that's why we're going to talk about it. When you're expecting a child, are you focused on the labor, the whole pregnancy?
No.
You're focusing on the baby.
Yeah.
So what is the purpose of the tribulation? It's to bring in the Messiah. We are kind of overly focused on what's going to happen instead of focusing on why it's going to happen.
That's good.
And we need to be rejoicing and being excited about Jesus coming back, not about what we have to go through.
That's really good.
And so rechanging your focus and the way we think will help us endure what we might have to go through. We don't really know who is and who isn't. We don't know these things. That stuff doesn't matter. We don't need to be arguing over rapture theologies.
Oh,
we don't need
so
to be offering arguing over, I do this way, you do this, so you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, let God show you what you need to do or not do. Let God show them what they need to do or not do. And do not sit there and argue, because you're kind of undoing everything by sitting there bashing someone else because they do something that you don't think is right.
And no, God didn't call anybody to a ministry of criticism. Can I just say that?
Yes. We need to let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit and Him convict people.
That's His job.
If you ask my opinion, I can give you my opinion, but it is just my opinion. Because I'm pretty sure everybody listening to this is human, which means we are all wrong about something.
Amen.
We are not going to be right about everything because we are not God. And so our balance has to be on Jesus, not about all the things on the side, not about all the arguments, not about all that.
So true. That's such a good point. That is so true.
And on the subject of balance, a couple of years ago, while I was in the middle of the intense every single night doing spiritual warfare for my husband, I wore myself out physically and spiritually. Okay, because we tend to think carnally because we're human, which is normal. And we forget about our spirit man, but our spirit man is the thing that lives forever, and our body is just a vehicle that carries it.
True.
So we'll take care of our body, and we are supposed to, and we're supposed to eat a balanced diet and so that our body functions properly. But we forget that our spirit man needs the same attention. And so I had been listening to sermons and the word and just pouring it in. I was growing really quickly. I could see it. It was awesome. Okay. But when I would engage in the warfare for my husband, or when he would get home in the afternoons and they were acting up, I was draining really quickly. And I was becoming annoyed. And I would try not to be, but it's just
It's
what
hard.
I was living through. Okay. And so this was in the spring. It was cool. So I said, I'm going to go. And I was repainting my shutters because they needed to be done. Well, I had just been listening to sermons and the Bible. And I would do that every day, three, four, five, six sermons, as much as I could get. And I just was loving it. And it was awesome. But I couldn't listen to sermons while I was painting. So I decided, well, let me put on some music because that'll just kind of, like when people who work out, they use high beat music to help them. So let me put on music that'll help. So I was listening to some music and I heard a really beautiful song. And because I had been listening to so much sermons, I didn't have as much worship time. Now, of course, I'm worshiping at church with everybody, but I find that there I'm focused on making sure everybody does what they need to do and that everything's flowing, and I'm fighting other things, stopping the worship, that I have better worship time alone by myself.
Me too.
Then, I'll help them do worship, but I need to have it by myself. And so I had kind of neglected some of that, and I hadn't really realized it. And so I heard the song. I was coming in to take a break. I said, oh, let me work on it. And so I sat down at the piano. I started singing it, and all of a sudden, joy hit me out of nowhere. And it was so strong. And I was like, Lord, what is that? And he said, too much meat, not enough potatoes. And when he said that, I knew instantly he meant I had been putting so much of the sermons and the word in, my spiritual diet wasn't balanced.
I love
And
the way
that,
he puts stuff. Sometimes he cracks
I
me up.
know. So I needed the worship for my joy, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So in order to be able to endure the things I needed to endure, not only did I need the word, but I needed his joy to be renewed in me so that I could go through the negativity that I was walking through. So that's
Spiritual.
another reason why worshiping is important, because it renews our joy.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Warfare is very intense, especially if you're doing something daily. Plus, that was an assignment to you, so you were on it every day. I remember that time period really well.
Yeah. And it does, it drains you spiritually, so you have to be pouring it back in.
Is there a set pattern for worshiping? How do we know if we're doing it right for people who don't know?
I don't know if I'd say there is a set pattern. I know in the Bible, I mean, worship isn't just about singing, it's about your life. The Bible says we're living sacrifices. We don't do
So true.
animals anymore. We're a living sacrifice. So that means all of our life, everything we do is supposed to be for God. So it's
I
not just
forgot about
about,
that.
yeah, it's not
I
just.
looked up the meaning in the other in the Strong's. I looked up worship one time, and it listed service, it listed giving, it listed service being like giving your talents, helping the church and doing different things. And I can't remember what else but there were several different things. This was years and years and years ago when I first started really studying the word. I forgot all about that till you said that.
Yeah, all the different
How you live, how you represent God, if you are a Christian, how you live your life reflects on him and the rest of the body of Christ, and it is part of your worship, I think.
Yes, and because, okay, so in the Old Testament, when they gave it, God just, he didn't just want them to kill animals and he wanted blood, okay? Yeah. It provided for the priests. The priests were allowed, there was a certain part that was burned.
Yeah.
The priests would eat the food, and then they were able to do their service. So I mean, there was a purpose behind it. It was also a pattern to show when Jesus would come, but there was a purpose there. And so now our actions are for worship to God. Our offerings, our tithe and offerings, is a part of worship to God.
He receives your tithes and offerings. The Bible says here on earth, it looks like men are receiving them, but he receives them in heaven. Every time you tithe, he receives your tithe. And that is such an amazing thing to think about. You know, when I'm writing out my tithe check, to remember that when I hand that off, that's actually going to him. That's so cool, isn't it? That is part of your worship too.
Yes, my dad often says, you know, when he's praying, because, you know, that we are a small church and we support many ministries and missionaries all over the world. And so, you know, if the things don't come in, that it affects their income. And so it's like, yeah, it's not just the church, it's other people too. But yeah, he often says that God help them remember that when you have their pocketbook, you have their heart too, you know, because that's hard for people to let go of.
Yeah. That's a sign that your heart is not right. When you can't release that money, it means that you don't have faith. Tithing is a faith question. It's not a money issue. It's a faith issue. It is, do you believe? And it is, do you believe what the word says, that 10% belongs to God? I'm not going to teach that right now because I've taught it before, but it really is a faith question. Do we believe him? If we believe him for where our souls are going to spend eternity, surely we can believe him over the lesser thing of money. You know, if we believe him to heal us, we believe him to keep our children safe. Money, it's in his eyes, money is the least of all of those things. The least, you know, but it's important in that it's a faith offering to him. You know, it's showing that we believe him and we trust him. I tithed when I was eating lunch on $5 a week. And I could have kept that tithe and ate lunch real good. But I knew better. I was making so little money, I had to have that promise to stand on. I'm like, no, you can have the money because I need that promise. And I stood on that promise. And when my $5 ran out during the week, every single time he would send somebody to take me to lunch every day for the rest of that week. And to a nice place, to some place I'd driven past and said, oh man, I hope I can eat there one day, you know. Yeah, that went on for months in that first wilderness. I'll never forget that either. I still remember eating at some of those restaurants. I remember what I ate because I was so hungry. Because at nighttime, I was eating like, you know, ramen noodles and peanut butter crackers and stuff like that. I was staying in an extended stay motel in Dallas, which I do not recommend, by the way. Those are not fun places to stay, but you do what you have to do when God sends you on assignment and you know you're supposed to be there. You just do what you have to do. Anyway, that's all in the book. But
you know, a lot of times when we're worshiping, like through the bad things or like even tithing, he doesn't usually give you something back immediately. He'll wait quite a while to see how long you're going to make sure that this is your... Yeah, and this is what you've changed your life. It's not just, I'm doing this because you're going to turn around and give me something.
Yes.
I know when I started tithing, it was quite some time before I even saw anything come back from that.
Noticed that same thing. I've noticed it usually takes a year or so. But boy, at the end of that year, you can see stuff start to really happen. And in that year, he really took care of me. I didn't do without anything. I mean, he made sure that I ate, I had shelter, I had clothing. You know, I had all the things that I needed.
Yeah, it's part of the refining and the testing.
Yeah.
And the, you know. God's
so that not you can be used as an ATM. People will try to use him, but he will not be used as an ATM.
Definitely not.
He's smarter than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's not a set pattern for worship.
I don't think that there is. I mean, you just need to make sure your heart's right and you go in prepared. Just like if you take communion, you need to be prepared before. You don't just do that without making sure that you're without sin. The Bible says you eat to your own damnation if you do that. Everything should be that way. Everything, to be accepted by God, we need to make sure that we've repented and we're okay.
I think that's
before we.
That's really good. I want to talk about how to enter into worship for the people who have never done this. There's so many people I know that listen to this channel that are unchurched and or can't find a good church, which is the rule more than the exception anymore. And if you can't find a good church where you can enter into God's presence, then you can still do things on your own, right?
Yes, just like I talked about, I was sitting there and playing for him when I was a child until the presence came in. I would say find yourself a quiet place like you would in prayer. Put on music that you find, that you love, that you can sing with. And then if you're still having trouble entering worship, you need to bind things up, because I know in church even things attack us and try to stop worship. That's how important it is. And they know it's important. So in the recent podcast that I did with you, God had showed us that they had put a veil. The demons had put a veil from the top of the ceiling down, so that when we were worshiping on the platform, it was hitting that veil and not getting to the people.
They're trying to put the veil back up that Jesus ran into.
Right, so that they couldn't feel the presence of God. Yeah. Worship conditions an area where prayer and worship happens on a regular basis, the area becomes conditioned, just like you have an air conditioner running to make your room comfortable.
True.
So they don't want that. So you can command in the name of Jesus them to stop blocking your worship or you getting into worship.
That it does change the atmosphere of wherever you do it. I have a certain area of my home that I do it.
Yeah. So sin will stop worship. Yeah. Demons will stop worship. Yeah. And if you're having trouble with random thoughts, you can command your thoughts to stop. Naturally, you should know how to take your thoughts captive. But sometimes, even if there's a lot of attacks going on in the middle of worship at church, then I will picture myself kneeling before Jesus in my mind, worshiping him. And that usually stops it. And I usually can enter in at that point, because I'm focusing on him and I'm not letting the outside stuff get to me.
That is so good. A while ago, when I was listening to that song before we started recording, that song by Cody Carnes, tears just started streaming down my face, and God's presence fell like immediately. And I didn't even know the words to the song, so I couldn't sing along, but that song just brings it in. And I had a vision, and it was like I was up above the globe of the earth, and I was looking down, and I saw this swirling, like a cesspool of sin going on. And then I saw my face upraised to God. And I saw that how, as I was worshiping him from my spirit, as I was listening to that song, that he could see me and he could see what was around me and what was going on with me. It was like God notices you when you worship. It was like that. That's what it felt like. But I could feel his presence, which is what I wanted. I think.
Coincides with that story that you told. God didn't hear their worship because their attitudes was wrong, but that sin was there, and he can't be in the presence of sin.
Yeah, so true. Yeah.
But when your heart's right and you're worshiping, then he can see through that to you.
So if you're just going through the motions, it isn't worship. It's just some words.
It's a performance. Yeah.
It's a performance. It's not worship. So it makes sense that he would not hear it. More than anything, Satan is after our worship. When I was in my mid-20s, I was going through one of the times, because my mother and sisters continually prayed for me, and they refused to give up until they were dead. Thank God I got saved before either one of them died, but they were that determined. The women in our family are very determined people. When we set our minds to do something, we can hang. We can hang till we get it done. I was driving in McKinney. I was still married then, and I was driving in McKinney. I think I was just going to the grocery store. This was a couple of years before the end of my marriage to Rick. And we drove really old cars that were that broke down a lot and stuff like that because we didn't have no money. We just didn't have any money. We didn't uneducated, didn't have good jobs, just didn't have any money. And so we were very poor. And you know, everybody wants to drive a dependable car, a nice car. I never wanted like a Cadillac or anything like that. I just mainly wanted something that wouldn't break down when I was driving into Dallas. So I'm driving the car, and I think I was by myself that day, and I stopped at the four-way stop, and this really beautiful car goes through the intersection. And it was like, if I remember right, it was like a bright red Monte Carlo SS or something like that. It was just a beautiful, pretty, you know, shiny car. And I was just kind of watching it drive through, just admiring how pretty it was. And Satan spoke to me, y'all. And I mean, he spoke as clear as I've never heard him speak more clearly than he did that day. That's why I remember it. And he said, "If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you a car like that." And I was like, "Take a hike, dude. I'm not that stupid." But that's how clearly he can speak to you. And we were desperately poor. I would have loved to have had a just have had a nice car, a decent car that, you know, wouldn't break down. And he saw that need. He always knows what you need and what you want. And he saw me looking at that pretty car driving past. We have to be careful. And you know, I didn't even know really how to worship God then. I remember I used to listen to sermons every day on the radio driving into Dallas. And that I loved that time with him. That was my favorite time of the day because I was feeding my spirit. I didn't really understand all that then, but I was feeding my spirit then. And I would drive to work and drive through Dallas traffic, but I would get there and I'd be perfectly calm because I'd been in the Word of God for an hour, you know? And I would always try to listen to either sermons if I could find them, which that time of day I usually couldn't. Drive time was usually music, but I could usually at least find Christian music to sing to on the way home. And that really helps you to keep it together when you're in Dallas traffic's bad. It's just bad. I don't know any other way to put it. But anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Well, you know, the real battle between Satan and God is over worship. That is what Satan has wanted from the beginning, is our worship. And if we're not worshiping God, then we are worshiping Satan. And Satan likes to make it you think that there's lots of levels of gray. When I was a lot younger and going through the refining part, I was still playing for my dad in the church, but I would listen to secular music or whatever was on the radio in the car. I enjoyed it. And I just never really thought much about it. It's just music. In my mind, it was just music. This is years ago. And one day, God spoke to me. I was in the drive-through of McDonald's. I remember that. And we had just left church, and I had music on. And he said, "Listen to that music. What are they saying?" And then I sort of listened to it, how it wasn't okay what they were saying. The attitude behind it was just really wrong. And he said, "Satan was the worship leader in heaven. That is what he wants. And when it doesn't glorify me, it glorifies him. And there is no in between."
Who?
And that was it. I stopped at that point. And of
Who?
course, you know, we're used to it. It would be like if you're always eating potato chips all the time and you have to start dieting because you want to eat healthy, that's hard.
Yeah.
But it's not good for you. And so I don't tell people that are struggling with listening second that it's sinful. I'm not saying that, okay? Look, that's between you and God. I'm telling you, it's junk food and there's nothing good in it.
Amen.
And your spirit will get sick if you just have junk food all the time.
Yeah, it will.
So we want to be glorifying God as much as possible. And then when I made that change, there was a huge shift in my spiritual growth because
Wow.
I wasn't putting toxic stuff into me anymore. I was just using Christian music. And you know, the more you listen to it, if there's somebody out there struggling with secular music, the more you listen to Christian music, the more you'll love it.
Yeah.
If you're not quite right with God, you really don't. But you got to ask yourself, okay, why don't I like it? Because I'm supposed to.
Good point.
Recently, one of my children, one of my young children, I noticed a personality shift in tremendously. And she has a call in her life, I've known this since she was very small. She was the one, I mean, like I said, we have four children, and I had lost four. She's my girl, my other one's a boy's. And I wanted her before I was married. I've always wanted a daughter. And even through all the stuff we went through, I held on to that promise that I knew that I was going to have a daughter. So whenever she was born, I was 6 months pregnant when I had her. She weighed 2 pounds. We did not know if she was going to live or not. And that was a struggle in itself. But she did, and she's completely fine. Well, recently, like I said, I noticed a huge personality shift in her. And someone who was very sweet and loving and would give you the clothes off her back all of a sudden was somebody I didn't know. And I went, she was listening to music on YouTube. And I looked through, she used my account so I could see all of her history. And the song looked like it would be a cartoon until I listened to it. Ooh. And I realized some of the words and stuff wasn't okay. When I listened to it backwards, I don't know why someone shared this with me, but I don't know why they actually have certain songs backwardly recorded on YouTube. Instant depression and heaviness hit me.
Ooh.
So I knew there were spirits attached to this music. And so I went and discussed with her, and she was having suicidal thoughts and wanting to cut herself. And she's only 11 years old.
Oh, no.
And it was all from the music. So when I tell you that if it's not glorifying God, it's glorifying Satan, I'm serious about that. We don't know the dangers that are hidden out there that are after our children, because if we are living in the end times, like we know we are, the children are the last generation and Satan wants them.
Yeah, you do.
So we need to be careful.
I have heard stories, and I don't know if they're true or not, but that certain real successful rock bands literally have done satanic rituals to have success. Now, I don't know if that's true. It sounds like something that would happen. You know, people are desperate for success when they go out to Hollywood, aren't they?
Yeah. I've often said, I mean, I sing well. I don't think I'm the best singer in the world. I play very well. But if somebody offered me a music contract to go and do that, I would not do that. There's no part of me that would want that, because you can't serve two masters. And it doesn't work. And there's way too much temptation out there. And I don't. Mm-mm.
Wow.
I'd rather be nobody and serve God.
Myself.
Yeah, than be famous. And
I never was interested in fame. To me, it looks like a whole lot of lack of privacy and a lot of pressure.
Yeah. I had enough of that being a pastor's daughter. I had all the bad stuff.
Oh, yeah. Right. You get all that being a pastor's daughter. That is the truth.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in worship, we talked about that, you know, of course it is singing and praising God, but that's part of it. But it's about our life. Everything glorifying God is worship. So if our life glorifies God, then we're worshiping God. So
the way we dress, that's a big one today.
Yes.
You know, if we're Christians, we should be delivered of the things that we used to be. And if we are delivered of the things we used to be, that should show in our life. We should not be acting or dressing like we used to be. We should not be going to the places where we used to. You know, if I still wore Rocky Mountain jeans and boots and dressed real, you know, revealing and went to clubs, I think y'all would have a hard time believing I was a Christian. And that's something that still happens in churches today. People go in there with, women go in there with low cut, you know, dresses on and real tight stuff and all that. We should not be doing that, y'all. Well, if I did, it would scare people, but but younger people, I mean, younger women, y'all still look real good, and that's, you're causing temptation. And if you cause temptation, there's a price for that because you're planting a seed. So I just wanted to mention that.
So if you're struggling to worship, you want to, number one, like I said, be repentant. Make sure everything's okay between you and God. Ask God to show you if something isn't. because we lie to ourselves. The Bible says our hearts are wicked and no one can know it. We lie to ourselves. So ask God to reveal what needs to be corrected in us so that our worship will be perfect for him. Make sure that you're living a life that is worship in every way that you can, and ask him to show you how you can improve, because we all need to improve, and we'll never stop improving until the day we get to heaven. That is the process of life, and that's why we have it. So be encouraged with that, and then ask God to give you a heart of worship for him. Ask him to help you worship the way he wants you to worship. And in turn, that will strengthen you, encourage you, and will help you walk through whatever it is that we are going to face in the future. Because it's easy to praise and worship God when everything is great. It's when it's bad that it shows us what we're made of and how we really feel about him.
Amen. And what we really believe about if he will do what he says he'll do, and if he'll come through for us. That is so true.
Yes.
Thank you for taking the time to do this interview, Nicole. We appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us.
You're welcome.
And for anybody who would like to contact Nicole, her email is estherswingsofwar@gmail.com, and I will put that in the description for this show. estherswingsofwar@gmail.com. Thank you all for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax. If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?